When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Ali Moreno. The lineup is now set for Friday's Champions League quarter-final draw. We now know the eight sides that will be in it after today's matches. Let's kick things off as we look back at what happened in the Spanish capital. Atletico Madrid taking on Inter. Remember, Inter with a 1-0 lead going into that tie, and they would double that advantage. In the 33rd minute, DeMarco would make it 1-0. However, pretty much straight from the kickoff, Griezmann would go out the other end. A big old smash in the box would see the Frenchman end up with a ball to make it 1-1. In the second half, there were few chances for either side. Big one for Thuram, one-on-one that he put over the bar. And in the end, Memphis Depay would come on as a second-half substitute and score the goal that would send it into extra time. No goals then in the extended 30 minutes. It will go to penalties. Lautaro Martinez puts his over the bar, which means that Atleti are through to the quarterfinals. Inter are out. From an Italian perspective, we welcome in Gab Marcotti. And just for fun, Frank LaBeouf is here as well.
Just
we'll
to keep him up.
There you are. Just
to keep him out of bed.
How would you sum this up?
I think it, well, we can argue, we could debate over the two games about being the better side, because certainly Inter were the better side by quite a stretch in the San Siro. But I thought Atleti deserved it on tonight's performance. Yes, Inter got a bit of a second wind in extra time, but they got pummeled near the end. And I think the substitutions for Simeone were better, had more impact. Riquelme, Memphis Depay, and Correa.
Correct.
Who all look really, really lively. The one frustrating thing, if you're an Atleti fan from the early possession, was the slack passing in the final third. And we know Inter have got some big, strong defenders and they're a good unit, but it was the slack passing in the final third that was the frustrating part, if you're an Atleti fan, and that really let Inter off the hook a little bit. But in the end, they remedied that, and you know, Inter had their chances on the break, particularly at the end. We saw it. It was Marcus Thuram was through, and then Barella was through. Didn't finish it off. But I think on the balance of play, for me, Inter just sat a little bit too deep for too long in that game.
The great thing about this tie compared to some of the others that we've seen in this round is that you never quite knew who was going to take it.
Yeah, because I think you can make an argument that Inzaghi may have said to himself, you know what, we're actually doing quite well because we're going to be dangerous on the counter. And if indeed we're going to create chances, those chances will come on counter-attacking opportunities. And they did. You look at the chance from Marcus Thuram, that's 100% a chance. Barella runs through and essentially runs out of legs and is unable to actually make the contact that he wants on the shot. But it's a 100% chance for Inter. So if you're Inzaghi, you're looking at it and saying, you know what? The game is playing out the way that we thought it would. Mm. We've absorbed some pressure. Yeah, Atleti has had a couple of opportunities, but we've had chances ourselves. We put them away. We're through. They didn't. And I think the mistake from Inzaghi became getting, and Craig just alluded to it, too defensive for too long, yes, but too early as well. It felt like they got conservative too early, and that allowed Atletico Madrid, who weren't exactly in control of the game in the second half, to really take a step forward. And because of the substitutions, you finally saw players from Atletico Madrid on 1v1 situations like Rodrigo Riquelme, who can be a little reckless. But in that recklessness, he creates chaos. He goes 1v1 situations, he beats a defender, puts a cross in, and now you're forcing Inter to defend in uncomfortable areas. Same thing with Angel Correa. He's a wild card. You don't really know what he's going to do. But when he turns on you, when he creates a little space for himself, he can be dangerous. Memphis Depay comes off the bench and makes a tremendous impact and a tremendous difference, certainly when you contrast it to whatever Alvaro Morata was doing or not doing on the field. You have a guy like Memphis Depay that, and on the time that he was on the field, he changed the outlook of the attack for Atletico Madrid, was dangerous right away, hits a post, scores a goal, and has concept in terms of the team play. How do I bring other players around me into the field and into the play? Atletico Madrid in the second half, they got on the front foot. I think that was encouraged by Inter being so deep. And in the end, Atletico Madrid takes advantage of it and goes through. And I think deservedly so. Inter is going to look at the missed chances from the first 90 minutes. And they're going to look at the missed chances in the second half. But this is not about missed chances. This is about taking opportunities. And Atletico Madrid did just enough.
This was an engrossing tie, yeah, Frank?
I mean, it's very interesting to see how, from details, we can go to a conclusion of what people did wrong or right. And it was very interesting to see that Inter, in fact, got their best chances and dominated the game after 15 minutes of the first half. And it's when they scored the goal where they played the best football, where they tried to go forward. And as soon as they decided to go and be more defensive, like they thought it was... It was more clever for them to do that, and Inzaghi was trying to secure maybe the score. It's when they got in danger. It was a very fine margin that Atletico got better, but they deserved that win because they tried. They tried more than Atletico, and I'm 100% with Craig and Ali in that matter, because you have the feeling that if Inter would have tried a little bit more, they would have won that game. But because they didn't, Atleti deserved to win that that tie.
Did Inzaghi's substitutions cost him tonight, Gab?
No. I think Ali nailed it in what he said. I don't think you can blame Simone Inzaghi. This is what got them to the point where they got. He always uses all his substitutes. He really believes in this kind of, you know, 16 starters. And I think you have to respect that. I think what really, really messed Inter up, and if you want to point fingers, it's that. It's conceding that goal two minutes after you scored due to kind of two freak individual errors from Benjamin Pavard. And then, you know, Griezmann gets lucky that the ball sits up to him. Could have gone anywhere off of Bastoni, right? And I think that's maybe where Inzaghi glitched. You know, maybe that's when they could have said, all right, that was unlucky. Let's go and score another one against these guys, because we are a better team and we showed it. You know, beyond that, even with sitting too deep, as we mentioned, you know, those two chances, the Barella one, whatever, he ran out of legs, but the Thuram one, I mean, the guy has all the time in the world to set himself and be Jan Oblak. And he doesn't. And, you know, the reality of football is if you don't take your chances, it doesn't matter if you're the better team in the first leg or over 180 minutes or whatever. Individuals don't take their chances. Individuals make mistakes. You pay a price.
Well, you can look at, I mean, yeah, they had their chances, but you can look at the post being hit by Depay. You can look at the soft finish on the right foot from Griezmann, from the cutback from Marcus Llorente, and the Riquelme chance at the back. They were probably... at least an equal of what Inter had. Two things from me. And by the way, that to Gab's point, that goal that Inter gave away so soon is one of the most... And I don't know from a manager's perspective, but from a player's... And I would imagine it's the same, if not worse. From a player's perspective, it's one of the most frustrating things on a football field. When you score such a good goal that Inter scored down that left-hand side, the passage of play... They're down the left-hand side, the overlaps, the finish, and you've worked so hard to get into that position. You're now two goals up in the tie, and you gift almost immediately a lifeline. It is so frustrating as a player. It's deflating. It is deflating, and Gab's right. That knocked them back onto the ropes. So that was a big blow for them, but I tell you, two of the things he did brilliantly tonight, we're looking at small tactical details. One's not so much tactical. The best thing he did was taking
Morata off.
Yep. Yeah.
Best thing he did.
Yeah. Right?
Because it wasn't happening for him. The other thing that was a small noticeable difference was Axel Witsel playing in the middle of a three. Now, quite a lot recently, and when he was in the San Siro playing Inter, he played on the right side of a three. For me, that's a recipe for disaster because he hasn't got the legs anymore. Not that he ever had, but he certainly doesn't now. And I think when you're on that right side of a back three, and if your right wing back Molina's pushing on, you're exposed. You're exposed to pace and power and the ball over the top. And the fact that he moved him inside and Savic played there, I think took away some of the pressure where Witsel could then read the game. He didn't have to be out there marking a Thuram or a Lautaro Martinez who were coming short and spinning in behind. So that was a good move from Simeone. I'm surprised he's even played him out there in the first place. But I think that definitely helped him. And yeah, two teams that are very close. But, you know, just I think Inter, when they look back, will think, well, you know, at the end of the day, we should have come in here to the Wanda Metropolitana 3-0 up.
Yeah.
But we didn't take our chances, and we've now paid the price.
It's not the Wanda anymore.
What is it?
I don't know.
I saw somebody tweet that.
Civitas.
It was a journalist. The Wanda.
Yeah, Wanda don't sponsor it anymore. I can't remember.
I don't care.
Civitas. Well, I just told you. Civitas. I'm telling you.
I'm giving you the answer. I don't know who it is anymore.
Civitas. Civitas.
Why can't this?
I'm telling you. I'm giving you the answer.
To be honest with you, I look like a guy who knows what stadiums are called.
Who's the sponsor? How's this going to be received in Spain?
Well, Diego Simeone once again gets it right. So when he was telling his players to calm down, listen, they're losing 1-0 at Inter Milan and it's late, and instead of going and chasing a goal, he said, no, we'll take the 1-0 back to the Civitas Metropolitana, right?
Metropolitana, I'm not having any.
Okay, all right. We'll take it home, and at home, we're a different team. And we asked yesterday the question as to whether Simeone would change the approach and really the attitude and mindset of Atletico Madrid, and that was clear to see. That they were willing to pressure in numbers higher up the field. And it's not just the strikers. It's not the line of midfielders that come in behind. Also the center backs. As that first outlet ball is coming out from Inter, you see Savage stepping in. You see Witzel stepping in. Hermoso stepping in to win that ball. And that allowed Atletico Madrid to be certainly much higher up the field, to regain possession much higher up the field, also expose them for counterattack opportunity, and really expose the fact that guys like Koke can't quite get around all that much. But it's a chance that you needed to take and a risk you needed to take given the circumstances. But it's a risk that Simeone doesn't always take with Atletico Madrid. He did today, and it paid off for him and Atletico Madrid.
Opposite, how will this be received in Italy, Gab?
I think people are going to view it as a wasted opportunity from Simone Inzaghi, and I think they're going to wonder, it's not even mid-March yet? What do we do the rest of the year? Because obviously they've locked up the title. I think it's going to be a blow to Inter, because it obviously means less revenue. It may be a blow to some degree in the all-important coefficient ratings. Italy currently first on the season, which will determine, you know, which two countries get that fifth Champions League spot. So it's going to have undoubtedly, you know, a knock-on effect. You know, I think in the end, we shouldn't lose sight of what Inter have achieved in, this season. But you know what? To be honest, if you go back to the group stage, Inter didn't play great in the group stage either. That's why they finished second in the group, and Atleti were top seeds, right? So, you know, overall, I think this season, certainly in the Champions League, we haven't seen the best of Inter.
Last point on this game to you, Frank, if you want it.
I just think that Griezmann, we didn't see Griezmann a lot because he came back from injury, but every time he touched the ball, he did something special. And the last action on Riquelme, which I think should have scored, is just pure magic. And he had some control, some movement, he was lucky on the goal, but he's always there at the right spots and he feels the game. And I was very amazed by his performance. He played 100 minutes where he was. He didn't play for the last four games. So I was very impressed. I was disappointed by, of course, Benjamin Pavard, the mistakes, and by Marcus Thuram, who didn't score a goal. So good performance for one French guy, not that good for two others.
Very much a French theme there.
Yeah, I know. I very much went down a French.
What happened? What?
It's a cul-de-sac. Atleti, of course, have had a fantastic record at home this season. This continues to add to that 21 games. Just that one defeat, of course, which is against Athletic Club in the Copa del Rey. And they'll be looking to continue that fine home form this weekend as they take on Barcelona. That is our big game, of course, on Sunday, which will be live on ESPN Plus with our coverage starting at 3:30 Eastern. Before that, on Saturday, Real Madrid away against Osasuna. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd Spy, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
One more game then for you. Borussia Dortmund taking on a PSV. Remember, this one was 1-1 going into the second leg. And it would be Jadon Sancho who proved to be the match winner, of course, the English winner, on loan from Manchester United, making it 1-0.
PSV don't do enough with the clearance. Eventually falls to Jadon Sancho. Nobody steps to him or puts any pressure on him. Hits it okay, I suppose, next to the post, but the goalkeeper takes forever to get down there, gets nowhere near it. 1-0.
So you expect then Dortmund to kick on? They didn't. In fact, PSV had a couple of great chances. Chucky Lozano here hit the post.
Good effort, actually. Better than one that he had later on in the game.
Yes, yeah, yes indeed. He'd have a chance.
We may or may not
see in injury time. We're not going to see it. We will see this one, though.
I'm quite glad of that, actually.
We'll see this one from Luke de Jong, which is a huge opportunity for him as the ball just falls. He can't find a target.
That's it, a beautiful combination. A little give and go action now. It's tapping. It's put in the back of the net. They won one. No, it isn't. And you talk about missing it. Just make sure you're missing it then. Goodness, what a chance that was.
Marco Reus would eventually seal the deal. This was in the 95th minute. Boy, did he make those Dortmund fans sweat, though, throughout the rest of the game. But in the end, Borussia Dortmund are through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, they did get a goal, but it looked as if it killed it. Filtered, didn't it? But it was chopped off.
Yes.
But I don't know how the hell Dortmund have made it to this stage, but they've made... I mean, I'm being honest with you.
It's incredible. PSG, Newcastle in their group, you know, it's quite something.
I'll tell you what, the rest all want them in the knockout now, but they're there, fair play.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it, Gab? You take a look at the remaining eight teams, Dortmund very much, I think, would be at the bottom of those power rankings.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm still a little shocked that you mentioned sort of Newcastle as the impressive other team in their group. along with Paris Saint-Germain, and not Milan.
Well, I'm just saying, Gab, when the draw, I don't know why you have to go anti-English on us. I'm just saying, when the draw was made and we looked at it, you wouldn't have had Borussia Dortmund finished top of the group.
Well, I do believe Milan were in that group as well.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had Newcastle either. But look, you know, it really is amazing coming on the back of the weekend, coming back of reports of some of the senior players, you know, turning on Edin Terzic, losing faith in him. I think that might have impacted some of his team selection as well, that they're able to come together, weather the storm, you know, not always pretty. Yeah, they kind of keep going, and, you know, it's whether it's a dead cat bounce or not, I don't know. But I think nobody's going to admit it, but obviously this is the team everybody wants to face.
I don't think I've ever heard that expression before.
Dead cat bounce?
Yeah.
Well, and also the fact, you know, this was a good draw for them, wasn't it?
Of course.
PSV for the Dutch league, which is not a particularly strong league.
Sure.
I mean, it was a good draw for them. Two kind of evenly matched sides, I suppose you would say. But, yeah, it's keeping... I don't know if it's keeping them in a job, but it's certainly keeping the season somewhat alive for them.
It is quite a contrast. Mm. You know, you look at their Champions League form to compare domestically, where they've just been bleh.
And the Gab just alluded to this so-called leaders of this group or guys that are running the locker room, whatever the case may be, that have lost some faith on Edin Terzic. That has been the report going around Borussia Dortmund since they lost the title last year.
Yeah.
At the end of the season. And it's been the ongoing conversation, and it doesn't seem to go away because Borussia Dortmund continue to do the same things. Sometimes they look really good. Sometimes they make you believe. Sometimes you look at them and say, maybe.
Yep.
And then in the same game, I'm not even talking about a different game. I'm not even talking about this week to next week. No, in the same game, they look like they know absolutely nothing as to how to manage a lead, how to manage a game, how to see a game out. They're not able to comfortably see a game out. They'd never do it. This is not just about today. It's about all year long in Bundesliga. You see this week in and week out. It's a team that you cannot trust. Simple as that.
Jadon Sancho, the hero in the end.
Amazing story, isn't it? I mean, Ten Hag will be sitting there. I mean, he's not got enough problems, is he, Erik Ten Hag? but yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I think my own opinion in Jadon Sancho is that there's something not quite clicking there in terms of the attitude, the mentality. He's comfortable-ish where he is. It was a good goal. He hasn't always played well in his return to Dortmund, by the way. But obviously he's got himself a goal tonight. I think his Man United career is, even though he's on loan, I think it's well and truly over. You know, bearing in mind there's probably a new manager coming in. Maybe they'll take him back. I don't know, but, you know, I don't know what else to say about him.
He got injured today, so he's not going to be much of an issue.
We talked about Jadon Sancho when he was making it, and it wasn't quite Kylian Mbappe-esque. I was just like, I was at the end of my tether just talking about...
Frank?
Yeah? What do you want from me?
Anything would you like to add? I don't know if you saw this game.
Yeah, I saw that game, and I'm totally with Ali on the Borussia Dortmund. You know, when I see the first half and I see Malen making death sufferings that much on the side, I say, well, it's going to be a tough night for PSV. And they turned everything, you know, and they managed tactically to play better. And somebody was helping death. And we didn't see Dortmund anymore in the second half. And if Jadon Sancho existed a little bit for the first half and scored that goal, that second goal since he came back to Dortmund, we didn't see him anymore. And he got injured, so I don't know where he's going to come back. But I was very disappointed. And I'm with the guys, you know, everybody wants to fight against, wants to play against Dortmund because they're so inconsistent. And I really think that's going to be the easiest way to go to reach a semi-final if you want to play against a so-called poor team.
Borussia Dortmund, of course, meanwhile, domestically fighting for a place in the Champions League next season. You can follow their plight between now and the end of the campaign, of course, live on ESPN+. Plus, some of the games of note of Dortmund at home against Eintracht Frankfurt. That's our big game on Sunday. Meanwhile, on Saturday, Bayern Munich away against Darmstadt. And also on Sunday, it's the league leaders, Bayer Leverkusen away against Freiburg. OK, it hasn't been the greatest ever
round of 16. But what it means is that the quarterfinals are going to be brilliant because, of course, Bayern Munich, PSG, Real Madrid, Manchester City, Borussia Dortmund, Atletico Madrid, Arsenal and Barcelona are all through to the final eight. The draw will be made on Friday. So I think it's about time we get into Gab's dream draw. Looking ahead to it. Gab, this is easier than normal because there are so many different narratives between so many of these different opponents. Whatever happens, it should be brilliant.
Yeah, and by the way, I actually thought the round of 16 was pretty good and exciting.
Oh, you would. Right, just get on with the quarterfinal dream draw.
Whatever. I like football. What can I say? So I'm going to start at the top. I like my narratives. Obviously, I'm going to go with Bayern against Barcelona for the simple fact of the managers. It's so rare that you get managers where you know that they're not going to be back next year. Thomas Tuchel, not by choice. Xavi by choice, although I secretly hope Xavi does come back. So without question, Bayern and Barcelona, also so much exciting young talent on display, from Musiala and Pavlovic on one side to Pau Cubarsí, or Cubaresi, as I've started calling him as of last night. Reserve the right to change my mind. And of course, that kid, Lamine Yamal.
Oh, double down on that.
Cubaresi.
Gab, keep going. Go on. PSG, Real Madrid. Mbappe, obviously, the story there.
Obviously, Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid, really easy. Kylian Mbappe against the team that, is he going to spurn them one last time until he signs on the line that is dotted? Anything can happen. We've seen this film before. How will the Bernabeu take to him? There's also a subplot in there. I mean, I don't know if he's going to play at center forward if he does move to Real Madrid, but what about Vinicius? That guy's pretty good. He's been pretty important. He's been pretty important to Real Madrid. Hey, Mbappe plays the same position. So I think this is foreshadowing a long saga there. I went with City and Arsenal for the simple reason that I don't believe we've seen, master versus apprentice over two legs. Certainly not in the Champions League. I know they're going to play each other. We've seen them play in the Premier League or whatever. Hey, this is a different kettle of fish, different format. And I think a really good test for City. And who knows? Maybe Arteta can pull one off on him. And finally, like I said, somebody's got to play Dortmund. I think have had a little bit of the rub of the green. Why don't we give it to them again? And I look forward to Niklas Füllkrug against Stefan Savic.
Cat's bounce. That's dead cat. Right.
Dead cat bounce.
Okay. It's exciting, isn't it? It's good.
No.
What's not exciting? Of course it's exciting. Well, no, look at the teams that are left.
It's not exciting.
It is exciting. No, even you cannot not be excited about the prospect of seeing what's happening.
There is no such thing in my life as a dream draw.
Right.
It's just a draw.
Just a draw, yes. But whatever the draw will be.
Whatever the draw will be.
Yes.
You know, when it's made, I'll look at it and go, there's the draw.
Okay.
And you know, I won't wake up in the morning like it's Christmas morning and I'm 5 years old. It's
really?
A draw.
You won't wake up?
It's a draw.
It's a surprise. Okay, right.
How were you at 5 years old on Christmas
very excited.
Morning?
Yeah. Very excited.
Morning, slowly but surely. Bitterness to go.
We peak very early.
Happy. Okay. Yeah. All right, Frank. Are we agreeing that if we were to do a power rankings of the eight teams that are left, Manchester City would be top?
Yes, still for me, yeah. Yeah.
So then, you know, where do we go from there? Who's second from there?
I have to go for Real Madrid for their experience.
Really?
And I have to go for Real Madrid. And then I will go for Arsenal. Even if I think that's going to be, you know, as we talked, you know, you need to lose one time before winning that Champions League. And we also, those big clubs are doing that. City, Chelsea before, and some others. Paris Saint-Germain lost their first Champions League final. Will they be able to, like Inter, win another one? We'll see. But you need to lose one. So I think Arsenal is going to be tricky. And after... I don't see Paris Saint-Germain winning. I mean, that would be absolutely unbelievable to see Mbappe putting out Real Madrid, where he's going to sign next season. That's going to be very interesting to see. But otherwise, yeah, there is no dream draw. But I have to go, yeah, for City first. I think City are the favourites for me. That's clear. I don't see any other team better than City if they play at their best.
That's my dream. Well, that's one of them.
Okay.
Mbappe puts out Real Madrid.
Right, see, of course, yes.
Gets booed to high heavens at the Bernabeu
right.
when he goes in there. And they never forgive him. Okay. And he spits the baby dummy out. Actually, I hope that doesn't happen. Because we'll never stop bloody talking
about it. Well, you brought it up now, then he stays at PSG.
Hey, your dream is so positive.
Tell me something. I've got a feeling.
Tell me.
It's just this very, very, very small feeling that we're struggling today.
Why?
Because I feel that we're fishing.
No, you're
fishing.
No, it's because you're not interested today.
I am interested.
You're not. You've turned the page. I'm having an interesting conversation about the eight teams are left.
Oh, by
and
the
you
way,
say you don't
you
care.
Think that's interesting?
I do.
Oh my God.
I do.
Oh, Frank. Look. What's your real? How okay, do you okay, rate
so,
the teams?
So why don't you just leave?
Gam.
Leave. Just leave. Just because you don't care
you
about it.
You think that's interesting?
I think it is interesting. Oh, I think it's brilliant. No, I do. Oh. I think it's
let
very good.
Let me tell you something.
Right.
Flat as a pancake.
Look, I've already cancelled.
Flat as a pancake.
Conceição against Arteta, I cancelled.
I tell you what, that's almost a better conversation.
What was that word you used before that?
What?
Almost.
Almost.
So there we go. So we picked the better. Oh, right.
Well, you carry on.
I will carry on. You go shut on. Up. Yeah. Which of these matchups? Like, look at the eight that are left.
What matchups? Well, there's no draw yet.
But there's a possibility of these matchups.
There's no draw.
Go
there's
home.
A dream
go.
Draw.
Just go home. It's fine. You've done your bit.
You're already jumped off the deep end with pushing the Borussia Dortmund thing.
What pushing?
What do you think about the Borussia? We'd moved
what
on.
What do you mean? We
that.
Did 2 minutes on it. That was it.
And that was 2 minutes too long.
Just because you don't care doesn't mean that other people don't.
It's on.
They
it's
do. On.
Know your audience.
Oh, yes. All right.
Know
okay. All right.
Know your audience. And it's not Borussia Dortmund. PSV.
Right. But we're not. We finished that now. Now we're talking about the dream draw.
The dream draw. Oh my God.
I miss 5-year-old Craig.
Yeah, I know.
At Christmas.
Come on. Well, it's on edge.
That's it.
Borussia Dortmund, PSV.
56-year-old Craig, not quite as exciting.
Not nearly as exciting on Christmas. No. Can I just say, from the perspective of PSG, when we do the power ranking,
we
agree that Dortmund is at the bottom of the power ranking. But if you're looking at a team that has flaws and is actually quite vulnerable, PSG would be 7 for me. And they're only 7 because they are killing Mbappe. And so killing Mbappe gets hard in one game and can push you. But over two legs, I look at a team that has so many flaws and is so vulnerable. And so therefore, I don't know that you are lining up to say, hey, let me play killing Mbappe or against that guy because he's one of the best players in the world. But let me play against that team because that team right now, in terms of who's left in this competition, they're fragile. They're vulnerable. They're flawed. That's a team that you can get after.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Bayern Munich. There's another team with flaws.
Yeah, there's a lot of flawed teams.
You couldn't say. But I agree. Dortmund, PSG. Don't know what you're going to get from them. You really do not. You have no idea what you're going to get from Bayern Munich.
It's like you. What's going to happen?
That's the story. Would you like me to come and sit here and be boring?
Gab, we've already had complaints that you're going to see Atleti or Dortmund in the semi-finals.
No. Look, stop it. And if they get there, it's because they fully deserve it, like Inter did last year. But I want to make a point about another way of looking at this. And I agree with Ali about Paris Saint-Germain's flaws and whatever. But when I look at these teams and you turn it around and you look at it, all right, which team can realistically get a lot better between now and May? I don't think City will get much better than they already are. I don't think Real Madrid will. I actually think Paris Saint-Germain are a team that can get better, considering that they're not involved, obviously, in a domestic title competition in the league. And given that, Luis Enrique is a guy who works a lot on systems and tactics and needs time with his players, perhaps more so than other people. You know, this is still a manager who's in his first year. So I do think maybe we should be looking in terms of, I think Paris Saint-Germain are a side that could turn into a very, very good side, better than they are between now and the end of the competition, perhaps more so than some of the other clubs.
More dream draw talk, I imagine, on the next edition of Gab and Jules. Gab?
Oh, come on if you want.
You can have Craig for free.
That's all we're going to talk about. Only dream draw.
One-way ticket to London.
Gonna,
off you go. It's the Hammersmith.
Gab, I'll be there tomorrow.
Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's so on.
Volemos Angel City.
Let's show them how we do it, Doc.
KC, baby. KC, baby.
Oh,
so the season starts this Saturday with a bang on ESPN Plus and ABC as Kansas City Current take on Portland Thorns. Coverage starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. Sebi will be involved in the coverage of that game, as well as also, of course, the latest edition of Football America's. Plenty of them to talk about. The fallout of those MLS sides struggling in the CONCACAF Cup, and also they'll be reflecting on the U.S. roster that has been named for the CONCACAF Nations League. Tyler Adams and Gio Reyna are both included in it.
Sergiño Dest is in, Craig.
Yep. Oh, don't wind him up. Don't need that.
Amazing. An amazing storyline, this squad.
That is it then. That brings us to the end. That brings us to the end. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for being with us. Some could have left earlier if they wanted to. They wouldn't have been missed. Frank is back with us for extra time. I told you to go.
I'll go.
I told you to. Extra time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your questions. Frank LaBeouf, you're looking taller than normal, Frank. Beautiful. How are you?
I'm good. And I didn't grow. I'm not taller.
Yeah. And what did you have for breakfast today?
I'm
going to ask
okay.
you questions to annoy Craig.
Right, I'll just go.
Oh, my God. Craig, take it. Craig, take it easy. Take it easy. I know you. I know you're a good guy, you know. Easy.
I'm all right.
I mean, Don't worry. It's international break. It's international break coming up.
Yeah. Give me days off in international.
Give him days off, please. Thank you. That would be lovely. Months off.
Okay.
That would be lovely. What on earth was the Martinez penalty, Craig?
I don't know. What was it?
He put it over the bar. High.
Yeah, he looked at the spot.
Did he slip? Yeah.
Urigela.
There was something wrong.
People
don't
know who
Uri Geller is.
Can't look up. My job to explain who he is.
Well, yeah, you've got to make references that are relevant to people.
I said Uri Geller. People can go and look it up. They'll find out. If they don't, they won't know.
Right, okay.
Well, not in the business.
Chris Waddle in the 1990 World Cup.
Yes.
Kepa.
Kepa, yes.
Not as bad as that.
David Beckham as well. I think slipped once, you know, he put on the stand.
Yeah. Did Lautaro Martinez take one in the World Cup final?
No, because...
Was he off by then?
No. He was the fifth penalty, but they didn't get there because of the saves maybe.
That's a bonus.
There you go.
Yeah.
Frank, what was your penalty ideology strategy?
Score.
That was the best one. It was given by Johan Niskens when I met when I was at Chelsea, and I was already kind of an expert on that, where I was picking a side and tried to put on the floor very, very fast and very strong. He said, you know what, close your eyes, pick a side, never change your mind, and if you miss, you just say, well done, goalkeeper, but don't have any regrets. That was my philosophy of it and my ideology about it. The strategy was simple, pick a side, don't try to change, and don't look at the goalkeeper, you don't care. He has almost no chance to stop it if you kick strong on the floor.
What was your strategy, Craig Burley?
I actually did change my mind now and again.
And did it make a difference?
Sometimes it was, sometimes it didn't.
Right.
I'll tell you why, because sometimes a goalkeeper moved early.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to slew it across to the keeper's right and he's already gone, you have to be able to adjust and maybe side foot it. It's got its risk. I tried not to do that, but some goalkeepers, every goalkeeper does things differently. Some of them are moving all the time. And sometimes you get it in your eye. You just see it, that
right.
little hesitancy, and you think, and then you've got to be able to sort of change the angle of your foot. It's not ideal.
That's very true what you say, Craig. It's like your music. You know, when you run, while you run, and you go towards the ball, you feel that the goalkeeper moves from right to left. Sometimes, you know, they used to do right, left, and go left or the other way. And sometimes Schmeichel was doing left, right, left, for example. And you knew because of your run and the step you were making that at the time he will do these three movements, you will have to kick right or left. So you could change your mind. It happened to me like one or two times, but it's tricky. It's very tricky.
And so talk us through, go on.
I was just going to say that it's always impressive, even from the perspective of a player, to see a guy, say for example, we go back to the World Cup final, Messi, as he's taking the first penalty in the penalty kick shootout, he's essentially walking towards the ball and he's staring.
It's a game of bluff. Right?
Yes, and he's staring at the goalkeeper, Lloris. In that moment, in that environment, look, it takes a lot of cold blood. And it takes a lot of guts as well to be able to stare down the goalkeeper and say, I'm not kicking it until you move, until you give me something. And he just calmly rolled the ball in. That's a different level.
I had the misfortune of watching Eric Cantona do that to us.
Right, FA Cup final?
A cup final, and man, it takes...
Yeah.
It's like, it almost was like holding like a little cup of French coffee as he walks up.
Little espresso. Hey,
Dimitri Carrier was in goal at that, right? The Russian.
Yeah.
Or number one, and he was a springy guy, you know. A bit like that, you know.
Yeah, like that, springy, perfect.
Yeah.
Just remind me.
I could have sprung out the studio today.
You could have made history and being the first ever player to score a hat-trick of penalties in the Premier League.
Oh, no, I never bring that up, but you're bringing it up.
I'm bringing it up because I think it links well to the mentality of taking penalties and like what goes through your mind for the first, second, and then the third one.
I think there's only four people have done it and everyone's missed.
Right.
In England, anyway.
Yeah.
Premier League. I think Aguero was the last one to do it. What goes through your mind is like, well, the first one was in the first half. So that was simple. Pick my spot.
Yep.
Rifled it in the corner with pace, right? Second one comes in the second half, and this is a relegation battle, so it's a game that was a nuts game. I mean, it was 4-3 at half-time against Bradford, at Bradford. It was just crackers. So I scored the penalty in the second half to take it back to 4-4. Again, pick my spot, a little bit more complicated, because I'm now thinking, I've told you this, am I going to go? And I went the same way.
Okay.
When the third penalty was awarded.
Which way did the keeper go, do you remember?
I think he went correct the both times.
Okay.
But I managed to put it high enough in the corner. When the third penalty came, that's when the gremlins were in.
We seem to have multiplied over the years.
Yes. Yeah.
There's been a lot of water on that head, and the gremlins are really multiplying.
But you know, Craig, it happened to me also.
Craig, he hasn't
Strasbourg,
finished his story.
And we played against. Oh, sorry, go on, sorry, finish. Sorry, please.
What did you think about Borussia Dortmund, PSV? No, the gremlins, they're angry gremlins now, right?
Yeah, they're angry.
Angry gremlins. But those gremlins, so I'll take it. You know, I didn't shine away.
Mm-hmm.
Penalty, 4-4, third one of the game. I'm taking it.
Right.
Responsibility, all that sort of nonsense. But now it's like you're going, keep us going that way, now he's going that way. Right. And there was no thought of going down the middle. You didn't really see too many penalties going down the middle of those, and you certainly didn't see many people.
No pithinkers.
By the way, there was hardly any grass in the pitch, so I wasn't trying that.
Yeah.
Because it was a mud bath. And I remember Alan Wilkie was a little referee, a little baldy fellow with a moustache, and he blew the whistle, Alan. And he blew the whistle.
All right, Alan.
And I went, he blew the whistle, and I went, all right, Alan, for God's sake. He said, wait a minute. I said, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Right.
And I didn't have an idea because you're now second guessing yourself,
sure.
Which I suppose some of these guys did tonight, for example. So Lautaro Martinez steps up. He's thinking, if I don't score, we're out. Blah, 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 pressure, what was the goalkeeper? And so you start guessing. And I actually did try to go down the middle with a bit of height. I pulled it slightly. He went the same way again,
right.
The keeper. So he thought I was going the same way again. It's all mind games. And it hit him and went over the bar. But it's very difficult. Our international manager, my former international manager, the late Craig Brown, was adamant that no player should take two penalties in a game.
Right, OK.
If somebody took the first, I don't always agree with it. If somebody took the first, somebody else should take the second.
We saw that, didn't we, at Old Trafford against Everton, didn't we? The weekend. Bruno took the first and Rashford took the second. Frank, would you like to tell your story now?
Yeah, if you don't mind, sorry to have interrupted Mr. Greg Burley. I scored, we had three penalties, and I scored with shooting only two. I shot the first two, and I said to myself, no, I can shoot the third one because, you know, it was like, you know, teasing the goalkeeper. So I said to one of my friends, you know, take it. And I stayed close to the area, and he put it on the side, on the left side, the goalkeeper put it out, and I was there. And I scored the third goal, so I had a hat trick, but I would have never shot three penalties. As Craig said, you wonder too much. You second thought too much, it's crazy. You get crazy, so yeah. Already two is complicated, so three, I think it's almost impossible. Maybe if you miss, he's not.
Frank, considering both home teams won the penalty shootout, what is the pressure difference like as an away player versus home? Is there more nervousness or more energy being the home team?
Yes. It's a plus because you know that you have, like, for Atletico Madrid, 70,000, almost 70,000 people with you, and it's a boost. That's for sure. When it's another environment, when you are booed, it can be tricky, especially if you are a little bit shaky. I love that situation because I wanted to make sure that they're going to shut up. So I loved shooting penalty kicks in away from home, and that was kind of a very interesting situation. But the pressure is high. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh,
there are more numerous, there are more energy being...
People are going to be upset now. How long will it be until an Italian team wins the Champions League again? 5 years? A decade? Ever?
Well, not ever. That's a long, long time.
It is a long time. No. Those gremlins are going to be huge.
By the way, I had a shaven head then as well. Not quite that short.
Right.
Yeah. So really angry.
So you had no teeth, a shaving head.
Well, that's technically incorrect. I had teeth.
Okay, we're missing some.
Correct.
Teeth.
And I had a number two.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
All over your head. Oh, lovely.
Well, that's for you. All over your head, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Right. I'm not quite sure whether it's relevant to the story.
Like I'm painting an angry picture.
Well, I think just a picture of you in general is fine in that terms. Are they ever going to win it again?
I think not in 5 years, so maybe a decade. A lot of things have to change in Italian football in order for that to happen. But you can have a really good team that can make a run, and Inter did last year. The problem is that you look at Inter, even this season, and as good as they have been in Serie A and as impressive as they have been in 2024, man, it's a team that doesn't overwhelm you with the way that they play. Not at the European stage, perhaps certainly dominant in Serie A, and credit to them. But they weren't a team that you watch today and you go, man, yeah, that's one of the best teams in Europe. They certainly don't stand out like that. And if indeed that's a team that is leading Serie A by 16 points, imagine what else is down there.
Imagine the level that teams like Milan and Juventus, where are they? Napoli struggle against against Barcelona. Lazio struggle against a struggling Bayern Munich. And they had their opportunity.
Roma beat Brighton, though.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, they beat them in the first leg.
Yeah, but I think we're talking about winning Champions League.
I know, I was just trying to add a little bit, something to the positive.
The Italian 16, what can the leagues at 16 points ahead?
Oh.
I mean, seriously.
Oh.
Honestly.
Okay.
By the way, you know, that was my dream draw. To be honest, dream game. Yeah. Enter Arsenal.
Because
I want Don.
Yes.
Don, who can't see past Serie A. I want him on here. In fact, he's been nowhere to be seen for days. We need him on here with crocodile tears.
Yes.
So we can dig his ribs a little bit.
Tuchel is about to win the Champions League with Bayern Munich. The script is too obvious, Frank.
I don't know. We talked about the fact that Dortmund was the last good team, followed by Paris Saint-Germain, and maybe Bayern Munich was just behind. With all the mess that and the circus that we can see there, even if they played better lately, I would be very surprised that Bayern would be able to win the Champions League. No, it's not obvious. I mean, it's more obvious that Manchester City is going to win it. It's more, even more obvious that Real Madrid can do even better when they won the Champions League, when they were playing badly from quarterfinal to the final. Last 16 to the final, when they only deserve to win the final, but they did it. But no, it's not obvious that Bayern is going to win, and the script is not written. That's for sure.
Ali, which team would be perfect for Atleti to play if they want to reach the next round?
Dortmund.
Yes, I think Dortmund.
Actually, I think they would give issues to Arsenal as well.
Right, because of the way the Porto blueprint.
They can follow that blueprint. I do think that the speed of Arsenal could create problems for Atletico Madrid. We're talking about teams lining up to play Borussia Dortmund, right? I don't think anybody lines up and says, we want Atletico Madrid.
No. Final question, Craig. Which game do you really want to see in the quarterfinals?
It's just been written.
Exactly.
No, by the way,
that's it. We're done.
This is a misconception.
All right.
I enjoy the games.
Oh, yes.
It's the claptrap leading up to it.
But we have to do shows. We can't just do a show after the game.
Yes, but we don't have to drag out stuff that's not needing to be dragged.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's
just
show.
Just by error from you today.
I'm getting blamed for this. I won't be back. Are you away tomorrow?
No, I'm taking 2 days off.
No, I've got the days off as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, in tandem. I'll see you Saturday.
Oh, great. I'll see you Saturday. What a wonderful thing.
Frank.
Oh, and it's chill. FA Cup.
National week. Oh, you just wait to see
just
it.
Have the day off. Just have Monday to Friday. Monday to...
Well, you tell the boss.
Have it off, I will.
Tell him.
Phone him tonight. He can't get his messages at the moment. If anyone could help with Craig's phone, that would also be very useful at the moment. That is it. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.